first in our Bill of Rights is the freedom to hear uncensored ideas and opinions, to think your own thoughts, and to say what's on your mind. We couldn't have liberty without it. Now, more than ever, it's good to spout off, to listen, debate, and participate. Here's your host of Spouting Off, commentator, columnist, and all-around rabble-rouser, Karen Cataline.
Welcome, everyone, to a Thursday. Boy, midterms are right around the corner. Karen Cataline joining you and sitting in the big chair. I fill in for people occasionally, and I have to remember that I'm not filling in for myself. It is my show. I love that. If you don't know what spouting off really means, it means taking the handcuffs off yourself, saying what's on your mind, saying what you believe, uncensored, and having the courage to do that. If the word police, the thought police, the idea police, if that wasn't such a threat to them, you saying what you really mean, they probably wouldn't take such efforts to try and shut you down and censor you. Okay, so I have a couple thoughts about the midterms. Debates are going right and left. I actually watched most of the Fetterman Oz debate, and it was astonishing. You may have heard that audio that we heard a little bit earlier. The very beginning of that debate had Fetterman saying, "Good night, everyone." Now, if you saw that out of context, you'd say, "Oh, it was a slip of the tongue." But very much like the other mentally unable, mentally unfit person who's sitting in the Oval Office, if you counted all the gaffes, if you counted all the so-called slips of the tongue, you wouldn't be able to count that high. I am reminded once again of Joe Biden telling us to watch me. Okay, Joe, we've been watching. We've been watching every day. And it is terrifying what the radical left that now controls the Democrat Party, what they think of all of us. Not only are they imposing truly frightening policies on America that do nothing but destroy, diminish, and erase the Bill of Rights and the Constitution in America as it was founded, but they're doing it deliberately. Now, it wasn't lost on me when I read, in fact, I loved it because on Tuesday, when I was right here with all of you, a story was just breaking that Joe Biden told voters to choose Democrats because Republicans will, quote, crash the economy on purpose. How about that? So out of the mouths of people with dementia come the truth, but in a twisted form. They're telling us exactly what they are currently doing on purpose. Now, the kicker that I do a lot of radio, and I forget to mention that they are trying to perpetrate the unbelievable unreality that Republicans have any power in Washington really at all. They don't. Not only are they split in many regards, and we hope that'll change in about a week and a half. We do not know. Nobody does. Don't let anybody tell you they know. It is essential and important to vote to counteract all the mischief and troublemaking that go on with elections today by people who believe that the people don't deserve a voice, by the people who believe that they can blame everyone else for the trouble that they are causing. Let me go back to Joe Biden. So this is directly out of the leftist playbook. They did it during POTUS 44. They always do it. When they do have power, when election time rolls around, They claim to be the minority party. They disavow any and all responsibility for their policies, which created such misery, an explosion of crime across the country directly from their policies of defund the police. Let's see. Let's take police protection away from law-abiding citizens and empty out the prisons. That's going to work out well. Well, guess what? Those are direct and stated policies of the radical left, which now controls the Democrat Party. That doesn't mean everybody in the Democrat Party are radical left, but it is completely being controlled by radical leftists who are not only ideological socialists and Marxists, but who have true disdain and contempt for this country and the citizens in it. Why else would they destroy lives, destroy families? They hate the nuclear family. And on it goes. So they instituted these policies. Remember about 6 months ago when Joe Biden said, oh, it was Republicans who said they wanted to defund the police. And maybe Republicans called him out on it, but of course they were censored. Because any idea that is a bald-faced lie today, you have to accept because you're not allowed to question it. As I've said too many times, any idea that cannot withstand scrutiny, questions, and doubts is a suspect idea. And in this case, it was laughable and ridiculous that Republicans, the law and order party, which the Democrats themselves have been fighting against for being Bible thumping, law abiding Christians and interested in law and order, to suddenly say, you know what, we decided we're just going to defund the police. Biden says anything, he'll say anything. Not only, I don't know who told him to say it, because he can't remember when he gave a eulogy for someone the week before, and he wants to know where they are. That is called the loss of a short-term memory, ladies and gentlemen. They can, you know, and I'm a social worker. I've worked with people with dementia, and it's a very sad thing. None of them have we wanted to be president of the United States who have some form of dementia or Alzheimer's or whatever other affliction Biden has. But they have short-term memory loss, so they can remember what happened when they were kids. They can remember, you know, acute details of their earlier life, but, you know, they can't remember last week. Well, that is a symbol of the kind of contempt that the radical left has for everyday citizens to be able to blame their opponents for everything they do. And it's so funny, you know, they're psychic. And he's saying it so directly that Republicans are going to crash the economy, quote, on purpose. Because, you know, Republicans hate the free market. Republicans hate liberty and freedom and small business and being productive. Republicans want to live on the public dole and be paid just crumbs to make a living. Republicans want everyone to be dependent on the government. You know, this is what he wants us to believe. Furthermore, what gets lost, and I've got to say it again, is Republicans have no power in Washington, D.C. right now. Republicans have no power in Washington, D.C., maybe by a hair's thread of a majority if they need a supermajority. But in general and on purpose, the Democrats have control the White House. They control the House and they control the Senate. They have gone bonkers with their radical leftist communist agenda, and people are feeling it every day. And yet, somebody had the audacity to tell Joe Biden to accuse Republicans of crashing the economy on purpose, right? Was it Was it Republicans who pushed for insane $1 trillion spending that flushes our tax money down the toilet, or worse, same thing, pays off their political cronies for having brought in the votes and that kind of thing? No. All right. So Tuesday we talked about him, Biden, telling us that it's a legitimate concern, his age. And here's another one that just happened in the last 2 days. Remember, Biden's telling us to watch him. Biden is telling, am I slowing up? No, you're slowing down. You can't even walk. I defy you to pull up on YouTube how Joe Biden spoke and comported himself when he was a young hack politician. You know, that hack politician that was caught plagiarizing other people. So he had always been a liar. He had always been corrupt. And that's why he got elevated to vice president, you know. But that is another story. So here's a story out of the Epoch Times, one that we love to support, the Epoch Times. Headline, Biden falsely claims student debt forgiveness program was approved by Congress. You know, if I had to list, and I couldn't possibly, the things that are bald-faced lies or incorrect or both, and taking us all for fools, Congress, even their radical left-wing majority Congress, which, by the way, they control, did not approve student debt forgiveness program. They did not approve that. And how is it even constitutional or possible to decide that one group of people has to pay the bills of other of another group of people? We do it every day. It's called socialism. But that something that one individual signed their name to a promissory note to a debt, and that the government can proclaim with a flick of the wrist, okay, you don't have to pay that anymore. That's called an attack on conscience, attack on capitalism, and an attack on the American system. That's an attack on free commerce. Free commerce is absolutely essential. Liberty requires in free commerce that people take responsibility for their own debts, not assuming, obligating, or feeling entitled that other people should take care of your debts. If you're a collectivist, you know, you just let the government take care of it, don't you? That's what you do. So there's another one that I remember just fairly recently. Biden claimed that abortion, as most Democrats during this midterm season, that abortion is a constitutional right. It ain't, okay? Many Democrats are claiming that the repeal of Roe v. Wade made all abortion illegal, and the Republicans are too, quote, radical for whatever state they're running in. Too radical. To call Republicans radical is just as crazy as accusing them of being for defunding the police, and accuse them of wanting to crash the economy on purpose. If they were so proud of what they did, how come they're disavowing, kind of like Mission Impossible, disavowing any knowledge of the policies that they instituted with a monopoly of power? So anybody in the next 10 days or so that tells you it's Republican policies that are causing all this misery, please remind them that Republicans have no power in Washington, D.C., virtually no power. All of this came from a monopoly of power in Washington, D.C., by the Democrats. And please vote and vote. I was going to say vote often. No, just vote. So we can counteract all the lying, cheating, and stealing that we expect and know is happening, sorry to say. When we come back, we're going to have our first guest, So stay tuned. You're listening to Spouting Off here on WSMN. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Spouting Off with Karen Cataline.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, inventor of MyPillow. Thanks to your support, you've helped make MyPillow become one of the fastest growing companies in America. Over the last 12 years, you've helped MyPillow create thousands of jobs right here in the USA. Every MyPillow is made with passion here in my home state of Minnesota to ensure you get the best sleep of your life.
One of the things that I really like about MyPillow is the support. It gives my neck a little hug.
I've never slept better in my life. What's better than a great night's sleep?
Call or go online to take advantage of my best offer ever. For a limited time, when you use your promo code, you can get premium MyPillows regularly $69.98, now only $29.98. With our 60-day money-back guarantee, you have nothing to lose.
Sleep well, America!
Call 1-800-867-0416 and use the promo code RAM, R-A-M. That's 1-800-867-0416 and use the promo code RAM.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
Not too long ago, it felt good to withdraw your cash from the bank, didn't it? For a vacation or a new car. But today, withdrawing your own cash has become risky. Pat Boone here for Swiss America. According to the Secret War, a Swiss America white paper, I learned that all banks are now required to spy on you and me for the government, and then report any financial behavior deemed suspicious or unusual. You must read The Secret War. It's free.
Thanks, Pat. Call now, toll free, 866-883-2741. That's 866-883-2741.
Truth is, I believe the government's new war against cash is really a war against us all. But the secret is now out. So please, get and read The Secret War.
Call now, toll free, 866-883-2741. That's 866-883-2741.
Sign up for Karen's newsletter and read her columns at KarenCataline.com. Now back to Spouting Off with Karen Cataline.
Welcome back, everyone, to Spouting Off, and we are waiting for our guest to arrive, and I'm waiting also for a little visit, a little text that tells me that our guest is here. Oh, he's on hold. Isn't that nice? We love having him here. Hang on. Okay, well, we have a distinguished U.S. Air Force Colonel. He is the founder and CEO of the Paratus Group, where he uses his decades-tested and decorated senior leadership and military training to solve the need for relevant and effective principles in situational awareness and leadership. Gee, could that be important, given that we're seeing an explosion of crime all across the country? He has a number one, he's a number one best-selling author and three major categories on Amazon: Prepare for the Real World, The World is Not a Safe Place, sadly, and he provides training and methodologies and programs for the learning of situational awareness and your 10 critical skills. Boy, could we use that. I wish we couldn't, but we do. Brian Searcy joins us, and thank you for your service, sir. Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, Karen, and thanks for having me on today.
Well, it's delightful to have you, and boy, are you talking about something that is relevant. Earlier this morning, I saw, heard a thing that in New York City, and it's similar all around the country, but especially in New York, under Kathy Hochul, governor's leadership, crime is up 40% in New York City. Violent crime across the country, a new study reveals, has exploded through the roof. Tell us how your book can help us, and then we'll get into the details of things that we'll find in that book.
Yeah, so I wrote the book, and that's an introduction to actually the programs that we have at the Prodis Group to help people actually become prepared and to be their own first responder. We have fallen into a notion that we need to rely on government, our emergency responders, to take care of our own personal safety. And in our programs and in the book, what we talk about is everybody needs to learn how to be their own first responder. And that starts with learning what situational awareness is and then being aware of all the threats. But then even more important than that, you need to develop the habits, the behaviors, and the mindset so when you're getting ready to go out, you don't put yourself into a situation where you could be a victim. And then you portray yourself as somebody who is prepared, which means you're much less likely to be a victim to those people that want to hurt other people or commit crimes.
Okay. And that's great. And, you know, we love to unpack certain terms which people think they know, but from your perspective, let's drill down, as they say, into what is exactly situational awareness, and give us some examples of that.
Yeah, so situational awareness, first off, it's a God-given gift that we all have. If anybody's ever had that hair on the back of the neck or that gut feeling, the problem today is that most people don't know what that is. And if they do know what situational awareness is, they think it's just paying attention to what's going on around them. And that really is just the tip of the iceberg when it comes to situational awareness. With situational awareness, there has to be a process that goes with that, where you not only are perceptive and you're able to see what is going on around you, but you're able to then analyze that, trust the hair on the back of the neck or that gut feeling, and then also have thought through actions that you might take to prevent something bad from happening, or God forbid, something is already happening and you need to know how to respond. You see, you can only do what you've thought of doing. So if you don't practice a process, if you don't predict, it's part of the process that we teach, that there's actually a step where you predict what you would do in different circumstances. And that's how you build up that library of muscle memory. If you don't do that, even if you see something, the chances of you being able to make a decision and then actually act on it is basically zero. So you have to have that ability to not only see what's going on, but then be prepared to take action based on things that you've already thought of doing.
Okay. You know, I'm reminded of many, many moons ago, I took a self-defense course called Model Mugging, where people trained us by... it was all for women, and they dressed men up in these massive suits and giant helmets and padding so that we could feel what it was like to deliver a knockout blow. Because they said, unless your body has that body memory, as you talked about, you're going to be in your head and you could panic or whatever. But if your body kind of bypasses your brain, then you can remember what to do and just act. Do you have any thoughts about that and things that you could, advice you might be able to give us along that lines, things we can do? And then we'll get further into the group that you do and if you do training of that sort.
Yeah, so basically going to a training like that is extremely important. But one of the things that we focus on at the Prodis Group is, you know, if you just go do that one time, that's traditional training, what we call traditional training. And while you may gain a little bit of information out of it, if you don't establish the habits and the behaviors that go along with that and the ability to know what's going on around you, that training, you'll forget it in a week or 2 weeks, that muscle memory will go away. You have to have a program that empowers you, like I said, to continually be thinking about and build that we call it your lizard brain, that part of your brain that you go to under stress where you have that muscle memory and to be able to do things. Now, your example is a great example. If you're going to do self-defense and you want to be able to be somebody to defend yourself, you have to know what it feels like to throw a full punch or to do those types of things. So actually getting that kind of training is extremely important. But one of the things that we talk about in our program is that everybody has to figure out what they're capable of doing. There's a lot of people, Karen, that would never go and take a course like that. So they need to figure out, if they get put into a situation, how they would react. But again, that's something that they need to figure out for themselves, make those decisions. And if they're like you and they decide, I do want to be able to do that, then you go and get that training. But then you have to have some kind of process that you use where you think about that on a regular basis so that you don't forget it. And that muscle memory, because these are all perishable skills, those muscle memories stay near the top so that if something happens, you are prepared to do that.
Yeah. Yeah. Tell us about this program that you run. Is it an in-person program? Is it online?
It's both. It's a combination. So I travel around the country and do about an hour and 15-minute introduction to what is situational awareness, what are all the threats that we face in society today, what are the 10 critical personal skills that you need to learn to be able to practice situational awareness, and, oh, by the way, to just be effective in life today, and then the fact that the traditional training won't work. So our program is a year long. It kicks off with a 90-day micro e-learning portion. So you get content about 2 to 4 minutes a day where we're reinforcing what we introduced and then also empowering the individual for them to develop their own own situational awareness and their own decisions as to what they would do in different circumstances. So that goes on for 90 days, and then for the next 9 months, they get a piece of content once a week because these are perishable skills. I've got friends of mine that had great situational awareness when they were in the military, and now after having retired and being on their phone and their devices for years, they've now established habits and behaviors and no longer have situational awareness.
Yeah, they got to keep up their training, absolutely. I was reading your notes beforehand, and I looked at this, and I went, I got to ask him about this. Brian Searcy is who we're talking about here, from the Paratus Group. Is that how you pronounce it? Paratus or Paratus?
Paratus Group. Yes.
Paratus. Okay. Yes. I wasn't even close. What is left of bang mean? What is that?
Yeah. So most people in the security space, only try to tell people what to do if something bad is about to happen. So they're not engaging situational awareness at all. And when people try to tell somebody what to do in a scenario, we believe that basically they set them up for failure because the scenario they're going to talk about is not going to be anything close to what actually happens. And they're not empowering them to figure out what they're capable of doing. And at the Paratus Group, our focus is all about that situational awareness development and prevention. And Left of Bang, I didn't make that up. That's actually from a book called Left of Bang that was written by Major Patrick Van Horn, a Marine, who put together a program while he was an active duty Marine to train Marines not to get killed after the war. When they were out patrolling villages and towns and cities, Marines were being killed by IEDs and ambushes, and that's because they were trained to have contact with the enemy. They weren't trained to do those types of patrols. So the Marines put together a program to empower them to learn what normal is. So if they then got that hair on the back of the neck or that gut feeling when something wasn't normal, when something changed, they trusted it and they then knew what to do because they had thought through the actions that they would take. And that's how they saved Marines' lives. So Left of Bang is all about prevention.
So Left of Bang means before a bang. Is that what that means?
Exactly. Exactly.
Okay.
Any threat. It could be sexual harassment. It could be rape. It could be suicide. It could be an active shooter. All of those are some of the examples of the threats that we face today. We want to prevent that from happening by having that situational awareness to see it before it happens and then know what to do about it to keep it from happening.
Right. And so if you have that feeling of the hair on the back of your neck standing up and you feel like you're in danger and you're kind of encountering your fight or flight, you know, instinct, do you have a next step for people? Okay, say you're feeling that, then what?
Well, first off, in every presentation and all the way through our program, we say if you ever get that hair on the back of the neck or that gut feeling, you've got to act on it. There's something called the normalcy bias, where we as humans have a tendency to rationalize that what is out there isn't as bad as we think it is. You know, if somebody says something about potentially committing suicide, we go, no, that, you know, my friend would never do that. So we rationalize that away. So in our program, we foot stomp the fact that anytime you get that hair on the back of the neck or that gut feeling, you use your process and you go and you analyze and figure out what is causing that. And even if you can't figure it out, what we tell them to do is if you are at a restaurant where you're getting that feeling like something bad is about to happen, talk to somebody. If you're with your family, maybe you decide to leave. But those are things that as individuals, they need to figure out what they want to do in those situations. Think about it ahead of time. So when they get that hair on the back of the neck or that gut feeling, they actually take action. I have so many examples of people that had that hair on the back of the neck or that gut feeling, and somebody did commit suicide, or there was an assault, or their car was robbed, or the list goes on. So we really foot stomp that anytime you get that, you have to follow the process that we teach and then actually take action.
I guess I'm by nature a contrarian. And my listeners know I put the Judeo and Judeo-Christian and I'm Jewish, and the stereotype is the kind of person who's just a worrier all the time, and their natural state of affairs is to worry, especially today with all of the threats going on today. I think there is an awful lot of propaganda to keep us scared and worried. So how does, in our last couple minutes, yes, you need to trust your instincts, but you also need, as you mentioned, to check it out against reality, or to know when you're a Chicken Little, if you are, or what you need to do to stay mentally stable in a world that's full of dangers, but you can't be afraid every single second of your life.
Well, that's absolutely true. And we have a couple of phrases. Worry is not the same as preparation. And then preparation overcomes
right.
fear. Bruce Lee was asked over and over and over again why you always talk about being a peaceful person, yet you practice the art of martial arts and actually being able to hurt people. And he would say he would much rather be a warrior in a garden than a gardener in a war. So when you learn situational awareness and you learn to pay attention and you know what you are capable of doing, you have the empathy and humility to be able to pay attention to what's going on in our communities. You portray yourself because you have that prepared state of somebody that is prepared. You are much less likely to be a victim. So that worry is often put to the back burner because you're no longer in that state of continually worrying because you've already prepared yourself. You've already thought about what you would do in those situations. You are aware that of the threats that that we're finding in our communities. And because you're aware of those, that's how you actually are able to prevent them from happening. And that's the key thing that we talk about at our program.
Okay, we got to go. So tell us where we can learn more about the Paratus Group and more about what it is you do.
Yeah, so our website is www.paratus.group, and that's P-A-R-A-T-U-S. And I love to just have people send me emails. It's Brian, B-R-I-A-N, at paratus.group. Ask if they want to have me come and speak to their church, their school, their business. I just got done speaking to a bunch of parents in a community here in Texas yesterday. That's what my passion is, and we're looking to get this into the hands of parents.
Wonderful. Thank you, Brian Searcy, for joining us. We so appreciate it. We got to take a break. We'll be right back here on Spouting Off. Don't go away.
You're listening to Spouting Off with Karen Cataline.
We are being censored. America's news outlets no longer provide the truth. 90% of news outlets in the United States are controlled by 6 corporations. They're not out to tell you the truth of what's happening. They're out to tell you the picture of the world that they represent. The mission of the Epoch Times is to chase the truth, to ground all statements in facts, and prevent people from being misled. The Epoch Times is independent. We're not controlled by any special interest, and we never will be. This is a battle between truth and deceit, a battle between forces that would ensnare this country in ignorance, and between a media that wants to present you with the truth. Subscribe today to our digital edition at theepochtimes.com and join the Americans who are seeking truth and tradition. Read The Difference on all your devices. We'd love to have you on board.
Hi, it's Karen Cataline. It's been almost a decade since I wrote Fat Lash Food Police and The Fear of Thin. It's about my early experiences in child beauty pageants and being put on extreme diets. Remember when that was shocking? Sadly, that seems like child's play compared to what we are watching today when politicians and woke corporations are actually advocating for the sexualization of children. Everyone's children. We're watching a frontal attack on childhood innocence. This is one story, my story. Fat Lash illustrates and explains why good boundaries are essential for kids to grow up healthy. They need their parents to set them, not the government. Get Fat Lash today. It's available in paperback or ebook at Amazon or at my website, KarenCataline.com.
Karen Cataline puts the Judeo in Judeo-Christian. Now back to Spouting Off.
Welcome back, everyone, to Spouting Off. We are here at our flagship station, 1590 AM WSMN and 95.3 FM, Nashua, New Hampshire. We are so proud and pleased to partner with WSMN and Right America Media and others we have, and we hope more are growing. We'll be telling you about that also in the weeks to come. Right now, we're pretty well focused on the midterms. My feeling is, if it is even a remotely honest election, Republicans win all across the country. And therein lies the details. But we also want to know, so what are the issues today in November? I bet you can guess a few. Here to talk about that from not just polls, but a lot more information is George Barna, professor at Arizona Christian University and the director of research at the Cultural Research Center at Arizona Christian University, Arizona being a very important state this year in the midterms. George Barna also founded the Barna Group, a research company that for years set the standard for understanding trends in American culture. He's written more than 50 books, including numerous award winners and even the New York Times and a bestseller. So welcome, George Barna, to Spouting Off. So good to have you on the show today.
Well, thanks, Karen. Thanks for having me.
Well, yeah, so thank you. First off, real quick, how's it looking in Arizona for conservatives taking over? We are watching across the country. And loving, I don't know about everybody, I can't speak for everyone, loving Carrie Lake and the way she handles the propaganda media. What about you?
Yeah, she's very impressive. I mean, obviously, because of her career in the media, she knows the inner workings of it. She knows how to handle things certainly much better than her opponent. And we're pretty hopeful that she's going to pull off a big win.
I certainly hope so, and her opponent is too afraid to debate her, and she can't come up with a good reason why, so that's good too. So I'm looking at the Cultural Research Center, and it says research identifies the midterm election's most and least critical issues, and it says it's good for Republicans, but it says the most inflation and the least religious freedom. You mean nobody across the country cares at all about religious freedom? Tell us what these results mean.
Yeah, I think that's an overstatement to say nobody cares. But when we looked at 21 particular issues, we found that religious freedom was down toward the bottom of the list. Depending on how you choose to rank them, it could be considered at the bottom of the list. But when we look at that list overall, the top three issues pretty much across every category, almost every category of voter that we looked at, believe that inflation is the single most important issue, followed very, very closely by food prices and shortages, and then by oil and gasoline policies and prices. Those are the big three. Everybody pretty much agrees on those. There are a few exceptions. But then after that, what we find are issues like crime and policing and personal safety would typically rank about fourth. And then after that, you've got health insurance and health care issues, and then protection against terrorism, rounding out the top five.
How about that? Well, let's break this down a little bit. What are you seeing in Arizona and across the country as it relates to religious freedom versus inflation. The three that you mentioned are all basically economic issues. You know, it's the economy is stupid. Right now, the economy is frightening. And, I have to tell you, because I just covered this, that Biden thinks that Republicans want to crash the economy on purpose, and they're not in power.
Well, yeah, I'm not sure where Mr. Biden gets his information from, but the polls that we do are national polls. We don't focus specifically on Arizona. And as we look at all of this, what we find is that there are very, very few groups who really believe that religious freedom in America is being seriously threatened. The only ones that we saw who tend to believe that are people who have a biblical worldview. Of course, that's one of the primary emphases of our research studies. We find that only 6% of Americans have a biblical worldview. So it's a pretty small group out there that's really worried about religious freedom. Also, people who believe that when you're making moral choices in your life, the Bible should be your primary guide for those moral choices. They're the only other group that we identified that believes that religious freedom is really one of the issues that we have to be concerned about.
Hmm. Yeah, that concerns me, and I don't even share the same exact theology, you know, being a Jewish person with most Christians, but it does disturb me, and I think it would, having been originally from Colorado and watched the Jack Phillips Bakery case. I don't want to get too sidetracked on that issue, but if people cannot see that religious freedom is under attack in this country, I find that a great concern, because it's only a matter of time before everyone's freedom of speech or freedom in general, and it's already happening, will be under attack. So let's talk about what else. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, and I was going to say, you know, people have to recognize that religious freedom isn't just about Christianity. It's about all people of all faiths being able to believe and practice whatever it is that they believe. And so it's a much bigger issue than many people give it credit for. And frankly, when you look at religious freedom, it also impacts things such as your personal values, your moral values, your core values. It impacts your speech. And as we saw during the couple of COVID years with the lockdowns, there were some pretty severe restrictions placed upon people's religious freedom. And it seems that Americans often demonstrate a case of amnesia where we forget very quickly some of the things that bothered us or impaired us at one point in time. And then quickly we forget that and we move on to the issue of the day.
I think
freedom is important enough, we can't do that.
Very much of a concern. The bias was so clear that liquor stores and abortion clinics were open, but churches and small businesses were closed.
Yeah.
Let's ask this. Where does abortion, racism, and immigration rank in your studies for this midterm election?
Well, of course, Karen, it depends on which particular segment of the population we're looking at. Racism, for instance, is the number one issue with the black community in America. Now, we have to keep it in perspective. So blacks represent 12% of the population. So that's why it doesn't rate higher as an issue with the population overall. But nevertheless, with black Americans, that is something of greater concern even than the economic issues or the other issues we were talking about. You know, when we look at abortion, what we find is that that's a dominant issue among young people. Younger people, people under the age of 35, are likely to list that in their top five. People under the age of 35 are also likely to list racism among their top five issues. So age and ethnicity seem to have a dramatic impact when it comes to those issues.
Yeah, and what else has a dramatic impact is the power and influence of the media that magnifies these issues every day, 24/7, constantly. What about older people 50 to 64 and those 65 and older, what kinds of concerns did you find that they had?
Well, by far, their top issues are the economic issues. They're very concerned, particularly people now who are retired. Maybe they're relying upon their Social Security income as their dominant source of income. We know most Americans don't save much money for retirement, so Social Security becomes a primary source of revenue for them. So it's not surprising that they are most concerned about inflation, about food prices, about gas prices. All of that's a big concern. But in addition to that, crime is a big issue for them. And so you add that to the cost of health care and protection against terrorism, that kind of mirrors a lot of what we see with the population at large.
Mm-hmm. Tell us more about your kind of research and how you came up with this study. We don't have to get too far into the weeds, but a lot of people want to know these days because there are so many polls, or one of my favorite phrases, figures can lie and liars can figure. Tell us how you actually do some of these polling and research that you do so we can get a deeper understanding of that.
Yeah, you know, Karen, the industry, research industry, is changing dramatically because of technology and also because of people's attitudes about privacy and trust and things of this nature.
Yes.
So it's harder and harder to get people to participate in surveys. So one of the things that organizations like ours works hard at is ensuring for people, giving them confidence that the information that they give us will be confidential, that it will be anonymous. But we also have to make sure that we pick a representative sample. And so there are a number of different procedures that we have to go through that, let's say, 20 years ago, nobody would have given a second thought to. We wouldn't have thought they were necessary. But today, in order to get people to participate without biasing the sample, you have to do those things. It's important because you want a high response rate in order to ensure that your sample is representative of the population you're drawing it from. Because one of the things that I often say is that bad research is actually harmful. And so you've got to be a smart consumer of research. When I pick up something like USA Today and flip through it, it's filled with data from polls. But then when you dig deeper to figure out how were these surveys conducted, is this research reliable? Often what you'll find is that the people doing the research had a point of view that they wanted to quote-unquote prove. And so they did the research in a way that shows their point of view as opposed to reality.
That is so important. There's a term that is used in politics called a push poll, meaning you're pushing the public towards one position or another. And doesn't that kind of use the psychology of social pressure? Well, if I can report that 90% of people, I even saw a poll recently, just lately in this midterm menagerie of stuff, and it said 70% of people want the Biden administration to do more on climate change. Yeah, do you think I believed that? That's a push poll. Talk about that a little bit from your more expert perspective and polls.
Yeah, I'll tell you, Karen, that any researcher who knows what they're doing can get whatever answer they want. And the way that you do that can be done through the way that you word questions, the sequencing of your questions, the sample from which you're drawing the information, what you choose to report, how you actually tabulate the data. There are a lot of different things that you can manipulate to come up with whatever answer you want, which is why when people ask me, well, what do you think of so-and-so's poll? You know, I let them know, look, there are only about four or five large research firms in the country that I actually trust because I know the people there. I look at how they do it. I dig deeper to figure out how are they actually doing the research. And I know that their interest is in providing truth. If you have a researcher who's not interested in truth, but is interested in profit or fame or something else, that's when you start to get into trouble.
And I hate to make this point, but I'm gonna, which is you can't predict when you're trying so hard to do polls, you can't predict how many mail-in ballots are going to be lost by an explosion, which just happened a couple days ago. You can't predict the stuffing of ballots, and in many places, ballots that have been sent to people who are not eligible to vote, so they can then go and pick those ballots back up and stuff them in drop boxes. Do you ever do polls on people's confidence in the current integrity of our elections, or is that outside of the scope of what you do?
No, we do that. And what we know is that people really do not have much confidence in government. They don't have much confidence that the people who have been elected into government are trustworthy people. We find that most people believe that a majority of elected officials are corrupt. They believe that neither major political party adequately represents or even listens to the public. We found that more than 7 out of 10 adults in America believe the country is moving in the wrong direction. And
very important. Yes.
Yeah, 2 out of 3 of them believe that our democracy itself is in jeopardy. Yeah, so trust is at a premium right now. We've lost it. We need to rebuild it. And we're probably not going to do it with a lot of the characters that are holding office today.
Yeah. In an odd, perverse way, George, we're talking to George Barna and we're wrapping up this interview. I find that encouraging. I actually do. I'm glad I asked that question. There are people who do not trust polls and the rest. We know about Trump shy voter syndrome or whatever that is, you know, that they've demonized and poisoned the public so much about Trump. He's the devil himself. People are not going to admit to it, certainly not to a stranger. So I'm glad you did that kind of polling. George Barna, tell us where we can find you, follow you, and learn more about the work that you do.
You know, Karen, all the work that we do, we put it up for free on our website so people can download it from culturalresearchcenter.com. They can subscribe. We'll send them alerts every time we have a new report coming out, which is about every 2 or 3 weeks. So hopefully if people go to culturalresearchcenter.com, they'll find what they want.
Great. And you'll have one before November 8th. Is that correct?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, very good. George Barna, thank you so much for joining us and the generosity of your time. Best of luck to you.
Thank you, Karen.
Well, that does it for these two episodes, Tuesdays and Thursdays, of Spouting Off. Tune in tomorrow for another episode. Go to my website, KarenCataline.com. And there is so much to speak up, stand up about, and please keep on spouting off.